beauty, the first test of obedience. When they paused at a door, she dared to kiss his slipper, and for this he rewarded her by touching her hair and whispering under his breath, "Little pet, you please me very much, but now comes the first real test. See that you outshine those before you." Her heart skipped a beat, and when she heard him knock on the door before her, she held her breath altogether. In a moment, the door opened. Two male servants admitted her and the master, and again she was moving fast across a polished floor, and a dim sound coming from a distance distracted her. Women's voices, laughter. It came in waves. It froze her soul suddenly. Her master had stopped her with a little pull on the leashes. He was talking pleasantly with the two men. How civilized it all sounded, as if she didn't kneel there with the clamps on her nipples, her hair swept up to expose her naked neck, her face burning. And how many such slaves had these men seen? What was another without a name, remarkable only, perhaps, for the unusual blonde colouring? But the little conversation was finished. The master gave a jerk of the chains again and led Beauty to a wall, where suddenly she saw a small opening before her. It was a passage, but one that could not be entered except on hands and knees, and at the far end she could see bright sunlight. The feminine laughter and talk echoed through the passage loudly. She shrank back, frightened of the passage, frightened of the voices. It was the harem. It had to be. What had he called it? The harem of beautiful and virtuous royal wives. And she must enter it this way alone, without the master, like a little beast released into an arena. Why had he chosen this for her? Why? She was suddenly paralyzed with fear. She feared the women more than she could have ever explained. After all, they weren't princesses of her own class, or hard-working mistresses who would treat her harshly of necessity. She had no idea, really, what they were, except they were different from anything she had ever known. What would they do to her, expect of her? It seemed the most horrid of humiliations that she would be given over to them, women who were kept veiled and secluded for the pleasure of their husband. Yet they seemed more dangerous even than the men of the palace. She could not fathom it. She shrank back even farther, and she heard the two men laugh above her. The master at once bent down and placed the two soft leather handles of her leashes into her mouth. He adjusted her head, put a little hair in place, pinched her cheek. She tried not to cry, and then firmly and confidently he pushed her buttocks forward, his hand very strong and hot against the thin streaks of warmth left by the weak and delicate thong, and she struggled to obey, sobbing silently with the little gag of the handles in her teeth. There was no choice. Had he not told her what was expected? And, once she entered the passage, she could not stop. It would be too utterly disgraceful. But just when her courage did fail her again, when a particularly loud volley of noise rolled through the passage, she felt his lips against her cheek. He was kneeling beside her himself. He slid his hand beneath her breasts, gathering them tenderly in his long fingers, and he whispered in her ear, "Do not fail me, lovely one." And breaking from the warmth of his touch, she went at once into the opening. Her cheeks were stinging with humiliation as she realized she carried her own leashes in her mouth, that she was crawling of her own will through this hollow passage of polished stone, polished by other hands and knees, surely, that she must emerge in this abject manner. But faster and faster she moved, towards the light and towards the voices, and there was some faint hope in her that, no matter how dreadful this might be, the passion in her might somehow be used to advantage. Her sex swelled, pumped with life. If only there weren't so many, so very many. When had she ever been given to so many? Within seconds, she emerged into the light. She crept out onto the floor and into the dizzying ring of chatter and laughter. On all sides, bare feet approached her, and the long veils that fell down around them were gossamer and shimmering, the sunlight exploding on golden anklets and toe rings set with emeralds and rubies. Beauty crouched low, fearful of the commotion, the frenzy. But instantly, a dozen small hands had hold of her and lifted her until she was standing. All around her were gorgeous women. She glimpsed olive-skinned faces with coal-rimmed eyes, tresses tumbling over bare shoulders. The billowing pantaloons they wore were almost transparent, only the lower part of the crotch covered in darker, thicker fabric, and the fitted bodices of heavier silk only thinly veiled their full breasts, their dark nipples. But the most enticing parts of their costumes were the broad, tight girdles that seemed to imprison their tiny waists, and to rein in all the sensuality that smouldered beneath the colourful, diaphanous wrapping. Beautifully shaped arms they had, enhanced with winding snake bracelets, and there were rings on their fingers as well as their toes. And here, a brilliant, glittering jewel embedded behind the delicate curve of a tiny nostril. How enchantingly lovely these creatures were, savage-eyed counterparts of the lean and graceful men. But this made them seem all the more treacherous and frightening to Beauty. They looked wildly licentious compared to the heavily draped women of Europe. Ready for the bed, they seemed. And yet Beauty felt purely, stunningly naked as she stood at their mercy. They closed in upon her. Her wrists were pinioned behind her back, her head turned this way, her legs pried apart, as rifts of laughter and shrieking deafened her. And everywhere she glanced, she saw the large black eyes, thick eyelashes, long curls unwinding on half-naked shoulders. But there was not a moment even for her to get her bearings. She winced and shivered as they poked at her ears, touched her breasts, her belly. And she was panting and sobbing under her breath as the group rushed her forward, their long pantaloons tickling her legs into the centre of the room where the sunlight poured in upon heaps of silk-covered pillows and low padded couches. It was an opulent pleasure den, this room. Why did they need her to torment? But immediately she was thrown down on her back upon one of these couches, her arms stretched above her, and the women gathered on their knees, surrounding her. Once again her legs were pried apart, and a cushion was thrust under her buttocks to raise her for examination. She was as powerless as she had been in the hands of the grooms before, but the feminine faces that peered down at her were full of wild jubilation. Excited words flew back and forth. Fingers stroked her breasts. She looked up into the expectant eyes, panic-stricken, unable to shield herself. And as her legs were turned out, knees pressed flat, she felt fingers pulling at her sex, once again opening it, widening it. She struggled to be quiet, but her tortured sex was brimming. As she pumped her hips on the scarlet cushion, the women only squealed louder. She could not count the hands that grasped her inner thighs, each stroke of a finger further maddening her. Long hair spilled down on her naked breasts, on her belly. And it seemed that even the light lyrical voices stroked her and heightened her suffering. But why did they stare at her? She wondered. Had they never seen a woman's organs before? Had they never seen their own organs? Useless to try to understand. Those who could not get a close look stood up and leaned over the shoulders of the others. And as she writhed in the hands that held her, she saw that some one of them had placed a mirror before her sex, and the reflection of her private, secret parts shocked her. But now one of the women forced aside the others, and as she took hold of Beauty's nether lips, she peeled them back harshly. Beauty twisted and arched her back. She felt she was being turned inside out, and she moaned as the fingers pinched at her clitoris, folding back the little hood of flesh that covered it. Beauty could hardly control herself any longer. She sobbed, and her hips rode up off the silk of the pillow and remained suspended in the air by virtue of the tension in her. The crowd of women seemed to grow quieter. more fascinated. Suddenly, one of the wives took Beauty's left breast in her hand and removed the little gold clamp and scratched at the marks left in the skin and then played with the nipple roughly. Beauty shut her eyes. Her body had no weight. It had become pure sensation. She worked her limbs in the hands that held her, but this was not true motion. It was pure feeling. She felt the woman's hair fall down on her naked chest. Then another woman had taken the clamp from her right breast, and she felt hot, playful fingers examining her there also. Meanwhile, the hand that widened her vagina continued to probe, to feel beneath the clitoris, to pull upon it. The juices exploded inside, and Beauty felt them trickling out, and she felt the hot fingers examining the moisture. Suddenly, her wet mouth closed on her left breast, and another on her right, and both women sucked hard as the fingers pinched at her pubic lips, and Beauty was no longer conscious of anything but exquisite desire, rolling up towards the long-awaited orgasm. At last, she went over the edge, her face and breasts throbbing with fire, and she felt her hips go rigid in the air, her vagina convulsing on the emptiness, grasping for the fingers that stroked her clitoris as she felt it grow harder and harder. She cried out, a long, hoarse cry, and the orgasm went on and on, the mouth suckling her, the fingers stroking her. It seemed she would float forever in this sea of tenderness, this sea of delicate violation. And as she sobbed shamelessly, not conscious now of any injunction to be quiet, she felt a mouth close on hers. She felt the cries taken into another. "Yes, yes," she said mutely, with her whole body, the woman's tongue going into her mouth, her breasts exploding as they were bitten and licked, her hips lunging as if to swallow the probing fingers. And then, as it overflowed, as it passed out of her with a thousand rippling reverberations, she felt herself embraced by the softest arms, kissed by the softest lips, the long, delicate tresses veiling her. She breathed deeply, whispered aloud, "Yes, yes, I love you all." But the mouth was still kissing her, and no one heard these words. They, like all else, were mere glorious, sensual reverberation. But her mistresses were not satisfied. They would not let her rest. They took the pins out of her hair, and they lifted her. "Where are you taking me?" she cried out, before she could stop herself. She looked up, trying frantically to catch the lips that had just withdrawn from her mouth, but she saw only smiling faces. She was carried across the chamber, her body shocked and throbbing still, her breasts aching to be suckled again. And in a moment, she saw the answer to her question. A finely made bronze statue stood gleaming in the centre of the garden. The statue of a god, it seemed, with knees bent and arms outstretched to the side, and head thrown back in laughter. From its naked loins jutted a cock, and Beauty knew that they meant to impale her on it. She almost laughed in her happiness. She felt herself placed on the hard, smooth, sun-warmed bronze, dozens of soft little hands supporting her. She felt the cock enter her wet vagina, her legs winding over the bronze thighs, her arms up to go around the neck of the deity. The cock filled her, stabbed at the mouth of her uterus, sending a new contraction of pleasure through her. She pushed down, her vulva sealed against the bronze, and rocked on the cock, the orgasm rising again. "Yes, yes," she cried out, seeing everywhere their rapt faces. She threw back her head. "Kiss me," she cried, and she opened her mouth hungrily. At once they responded, as if they understood. The lips found her mouth, her breasts, the curls again tickling her, and she flung herself back into their arms away from the god, only her pubis still sealed to him, needing only his cock, as they suckled her. The orgasm was blinding, obliterating, her hands held tight to soft, silken arms, to warm, tender necks. Her fingers were tangled in the long, fine hair. She was smothered in flesh and smothered in happiness. And when it was finished, when she could stand it no longer, and she was withdrawn from the god, she fell back on silken pillows, her body wet and feverish, her vision dazed, the creatures of the harem purring and whispering as they continued to kiss her and stroke her.